All right, welcome to Town Council, June 18th, 2026. This is our Town Council regular meeting at 6:30 p.m. Call to order, roll call. Everyone is present. I have asked if Keith Johnson would like to give us a invocation.
Can I do it just here?
Mm-hmm.
Our Father in Heaven, we bow our heads before thee this evening, thankful for the chance to meet, grateful for the blessings of living in our free country, and for the opportunities to meet. We ask the blessing that the Town Council will be inspired and that they will guide this town in a way that is pleasing and that will advance freedoms and blessings of life. We're grateful for what we have and for our health and strength. We ask for thy blessings to be on us and on those in this area. And as we ask for, as we begin this meeting, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Keith. Everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we'd like to start off with a motion for the approval of our agenda for this evening. Anyone want to motion for approval of the agenda?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second,
we have a council meeting
June 18th, 2026.
I'll second the motion.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda is as states. We have a bunch of meeting minutes to approve because we did so many meetings. So there are 7 meeting minutes that we need to approve. Anyone want to make a motion to approve? And we will need to make sure we approve each one of those.
We need to do them all individually?
Oh.
Or can we say them all at once and do them all at the same time?
Oh.
I would do it individually.
Individually?
Okay. I make a motion that we approve the minutes for the Town Council public hearing and special meeting regarding culinary water held on April 16th, 2026.
Impact fees.
Oh, water impact fees. I'm sorry, culinary water impact fees.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, any opposed? All right. No? You acted like you're going to say something.
No, all in favor.
Oh, all in favor? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yay? Any opposed? Okay, motion passes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the special meeting, budget working session held on May 27, 2026.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the Town Council public hearing regarding the Main Street Improvement Project held on May 20, 2026.
And I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? No. Motion passes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the special meeting 2026-27 proposed budget held May 21st, 2026.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No opposed. Motion passes.
Make a motion to approve minutes for the Town Council regular meeting held on May 21st, 2026.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. No nays. Motion passes.
I'll make a motion to approve minutes for the Town Council public hearing regarding CIB funding for culinary water, fire, police, and public works projects which was held on May 27, 2026.
All in favor?
I'll approve the motion.
Oh, whoops. Somebody second.
I'll second the motion, sir. That's what I meant.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. No nays? Motion passes. All right. We have signed the bills today, and we need a motion to consider to pay those bills.
Motion to pay bills that have been already signed prior to this meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
No opposed? Motion passes. All right, we're going to start off our town council meeting with any public comments. So anyone that has any comments to make, they're welcome to. Council needs to just listen. We will not take any action on them.
Go ahead.
John.
I heard, I don't know if I'm supposed to get this microphone. I'd like to say my appreciation to the town council for learning and understanding the affected budget for this upcoming year. You folks have spent a lot of time listening to this stuff and going through that. I appreciate you learning everything you possibly can on that. And I appreciate the continuation of the police department and the fire department. I congratulate you on that. I reserve the right to make the comment on item number 7, State Park. Later. Thank you.
Thank you. Keith?
I'd like to just make a point about the bathrooms at the parks. They've been closed for several months, and that bugs me. We spent a lot of time and a lot of volunteer hours putting them in, and I understand that there's been some damage to them. I propose that we find out who's done it and publicly shame them, fine them $200, and get the thing stopped. But let's get those things open instead of leaving them locked, because we're paying, I don't know what you're paying a month for those outhouses, but that just seems like a stupid plan. So there's my public comment.
Thank you. Any other public comments? All right. We will close the public comments. We will start with our agenda with the action items. We have several risk assessments that Ron will be going over regarding the assessment policies, assessment FY 2026, also the discussion on the certified tax rate information. Next on the agenda, submission of notice of intent regarding Manaway Justice Court, then the town parks and trails, consideration of possible adoption of the internet and acceptable use policy, then the approval of the Forest Glen Engineering Master Services Agreement, and consideration and possible approval of new water tank, SCADA, Twin D development, we'll go over that, Little Valley Days vendor approval, and then we will have some discussion items on the Community Wildlife Protection Plan, as well as some water rate and state park. So that is our agenda. And we will open up under the action items with Ron Wallace going through the fraud risk.
So the fraud risk assessment here, this would be the potential points we can have. Do you all have a chance to look over the policies? The reason I'm asking is the policies, I can bring them up, and the auditor says that the state's going to crack down on policies and say, do you have written policies? We do have some written policies. Some of them are very vague. So I rewrote a few of them. I kept them very simple. I kept them to a page. I don't think we should have to present to the town because they're employee policies, and I kept them to a page. I can bring each of them. One of them up, but we would want to approve the policies.
Can you bring one of them up?
Yeah, I'll bring them up. And I have a problem bringing every one of them up. Or there was five that I thought needed to be rewritten. And again,
item at this large if you want the town to see. It's really the kind of things that employees need to do. They make sure this is like cash receiving, making sure that we're, make sure we're doing things as employees to make sure we're doing receipts and deposits appropriately, and not one person taking out receipts.
Because you're not doing a segregation of duties, and we're doing things responsibly. That's avoiding fraud. So that was one of them here, the financial clerk, and they explained the policy. This is not more than a page. And if it gets approved by you guys, the mayor would sign it. That was one we updated here. I know Hank's looked at them. I can, again, show them. You can approve each one of them individually. I have no problem with that. My whole question is, if you want to read this, I can read it out loud, or you can look at it. I just don't know if every one of you's looked at them.
I will say they're better than what we had.
What?
Better than what we had.
Yeah.
Or didn't have.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Some of these things were written in the employee handbook. They were vague. Some of them I couldn't even find. But we mm-hmm. said we had them. I think we did. I just couldn't. The auditor said, well, where is it? Like, we have it. I just don't know where it's at. I don't want to do that. So, again, we do now have a cash receipt and deposit policy that can show the auditor. So, but the thing is, I'm just going back to here really quick. To get the points for it, we can remove the points if we don't approve them tonight, which I don't want to push you guys into approving if you don't agree. But if we don't say we have, if we can't prove the policy to them, we need to remove and say we don't want this 5 points for right now. Which isn't a big deal, because it will still probably be in the range right here between 316 and 355. I just don't want to say, hey, we do want these 5 points if we don't have it. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can tell you where we're at without the points. I believe we are at 305 without the points. Without any of them. Right there. But, again, I don't know how to approach this exactly. If you guys want to look at the policies and approve them next time, we can do that if you guys want to. But we have to have this. We have to have this submitted by the end of the fiscal year. We have to have a sign submitted by the mayor at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, your fraud statement, and these tie in with the score that you include in that statement.
Yeah.
And so it's a higher score if we have these policies in place,
yeah.
Is my understanding.
Yeah, it would be a higher score if you want a higher score. But it's not viable that we have it. We're just trying to get a higher score we possibly can.
Yeah, I think the point here is we've had so much fraud in the government that they're really trying to crack down.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying, she said, we're going to definitely hold you accountable this year. You can't just say you have a policy. We want to see the policy. So again, that's why I rewrote these ones, because these are ones I couldn't find anything on.
So the question is, and the score's secondary. The primary thing is, have we read through them? Are we comfortable with them? A lot of them that I was going through, I actually hit on our training that I just did. So a lot of that was the same. So I don't know if you guys want to approve those now or you want to take more time on them and then approve them later. The score, the extra 5 points, that's secondary.
I'm good with
it.
I haven't had a chance to read through all of them, but if everyone else has, you can approve them.
Okay.
A lot of these things are things we currently do in the office anyways, just needs to be written down.
Yeah. I observed that when I went through the training. By the way, that took me a lot longer than you told me it would.
We have to like lure you in.
I literally had to shut the door at my office and shut everything out.
Maybe it was the Ultima, the other training.
you like
the other one that ties in with that, probably.
Yes.
The IT policy that's on the meeting agenda,
yeah.
Tonight.
The other one would be the IT and computer security, which would be a brand new policy. And I have no problem taking that one off for sure. But,
I mean, the other thing is we could go through, we could approve it, and if we. Like
and
most policies, they should be updated.
Right.
So these should be updated. As
yeah. That's what they call update. I thought updated on most of them. Updated in fiscal year 26. If you didn't have a policy, but these updated policies are the ones that are going to be presented to the auditor. So he says updated fiscal year 2026. So for these policies to be approved before we check off this.
So we're talking about then from an action item perspective, we've got two action items that we would need to approve that would cover all of those five policies, and that is the fraud risk assessment for FY fiscal year 2026 and the fraud risk assessment policies, meaning all of those others, right? Because that's the way it's listed here. Or do we have to approve every single one individually?
So I guess the way we could word it is approving, we'd want to mention them, approving updated policies for, and you can name them for updated policies for conflict of interest. I think you can name them individually.
Name individually.
But for a fiscal year, I think we'd be okay that way, but maybe we, no, there's updating policies.
Okay.
Are we going to approve
them individually? Do we want to play it safe is the question.
Yeah, we need
to live on the edge.
Before we do the first item, the fraud risk assessment, which is what he's showing there with the scores that he's showing, we need to make sure that we approve the policies and the loan. The IT is also in there, so we need to review and approve that one. And then go back to the first fraud risk assessment that he's showing us the scores on and approve it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I follow you. You want to go through the IT one now? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we need to make a motion on the progress assessment policies.
Yeah.
We're going to accept those. I would make the motion that we accept the
progress assessment.
No, the progress assessment policies, yes.
Mm-hmm.
For CY26 amendments that have been put forward by Don Wallace, the finance manager.
That's it. I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. No opposed? Motion passes.
And as part of that assessment, we have, and I'm saying we, I've been kind of a reviewer, a little bit of an input, but Ron Shreda, that by the work of the last 3-4 months or more, putting that IT policy together. I don't know, Shreda, if you can bring it up so that public can see it. It's 9 pages. It's very informative. It captures the general requirements for all of our computer systems. I don't know, Keith or some others also had some inputs to it. But and then it gets down to the specific areas. I know we tabled this last month at the town council meeting because Mayor Ash had some great comments, but they came in like right before the meeting. So we have had time to go back in and incorporate your comments, clean up the document, and add the AI section. And the great timing there was Sharita had just come back from a class on AI, so she was able to write the AI section for the policy. So I'm very comfortable with the work that the team has done, and I would make a motion that, I looked at the council member for any questions, first of all.
Okay.
Had a chance to look through it.
I looked through it that one time, and I think you incorporated the changes. And so I'm good.
I'm trying to find the document here.
I'll be about the time. It's in the folder.
I'm trying to find the folder.
It's not at all. It was about halfway down.
Oh, right there in the center. Town Council. No, go up. Oh.
This is a document, though. I'm on this
folder. Should be a piece of your
No.
I think these are documents I need to go to chat.
No, that's my stuff.
But the folder
will
be here.
Yeah,
I'll find the folder here.
Oh.
Should the chat.
Yeah, but this is private stuff.
Well,
this is where I'm chewing around.
Okay, but I want this. I move and turn it off. And then, we don't want people to see the chat.
I didn't chew it out, really. I didn't.
No. So if you can, turn it off to be. Okay, you know where the folder is. Maybe you can pull that up. You can just show people or show the town councilors. Maybe what you can do is you can highlight it for me. Okay, I'll try to make it bigger. And you highlight what things are the main
the important thing are the major pieces, the upfront sections, the general section on defining what's acceptable to the town of Manaway for the use of electronic resources, the internet, and other elements. And then the second set specifically goes into email policy and what people can do there. I spent a bunch of time around me being here all evening.
No.
Not like 9 pages.
Yeah, no.
And then the third section is information security policy for the town of Manaway, which outlines our commitment to safeguarding confidentiality, grade, integrity, authenticity, and reliability of information that's generated by the town of Manaway. Four is password policy. I think everyone knows how important that is in the world we live in. So just and this is where we updated, based on your comments, Mayor, to eliminate that requirement to, for the 90 days. Simply, if you have encountered a challenge, then you should update it, or update it as directed by our IT people. Section 5 is the AI section that Sharita added. Again, good information regarding what you should and shouldn't be doing with artificial intelligence in order for the community. And then the electronic hardware and software policies. And we happen here right now to develop a list of software, hardware that the town council and the mayor would approve as things that people can have on their computer, but that's what we've got to do in the future. Aren't ready to present that tonight. We haven't shared all the different software that people use and the performance of their duties. Yeah. Seven's talk about confidential information and how to handle it. Data classifications for city-generated information. Eight is just definitions. Data classification, security access and control, just the general things that tie out to how we define the various terms and throughout the document. And then the last part of it is the user acknowledgement and responsibility. And it's a page for individuals to sign up that they review the policy and are in agreement with it to perform their duties for the town of Manaway.
And Hank, I'd like to thank you for taking that on. That one was a good. So.
That's two good resources to work with.
All right. So yeah, make a motion for the IT policy.
Motion to approve the internet, the IT policy for the town.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No nays. Motion passes.
For those policies, for the policies we have in place, and because I'm just having a couple of people to sign their ethical behavior policy, which they said they would by the end of June. Our progress assessment number, if you look at the very top here, can you guys see that? Our goal is to get into the very low range, this level, that's where we want to get. We're, as I said, we're currently at 330, but we've been moving up. We've not moved up about, I don't know, probably 35 or 40 points for the last couple years. But since I've been here, we've moved up 35 or 40, at least 35, I think. So we did move another 5 points with that new policy implemented. So at 330, I think that's a good thing. However, so the IT, the fraud risk assessment is something we submit to the state. It's one of the reports we submit to them. It's something you do have to approve as a town, and then the mayor signs and we submit it to them. But it does have to be submitted by, or it does have to be approved by town council that you accept the fraud risk assessment.
17, I just want to present it with the correct numbers. Do you guys have any questions about that? Again, as the mayor says, you can't be too careful with fraud. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing it all the time now, everywhere, and they're getting more serious about it.
So do we need to prove this?
You do have to prove that the progress assessment has been presented and approve the numbers.
Okay. So was that 350? What was it we're at?
The number that we're at, 335.
335.
You want to get up to 355. I mean, we'd like to have them all filled. So some of other cities, an internal audit function, and all those things are kind of hard for us to do.
So we're still at the low risk level.
We're in the middle.
We're in the second
the
one.
Yellow.
Light green.
We're still in the low, yes. But as I said, we do go over 1 to 5 points. So.
So somebody want to make a motion to approve the progress assessments?
I'll make a motion that we approve the progress assessment for fiscal year 26.
One second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 No nays. Motion passes.
Okay. Next one I'm going to present to you guys is your self-right debt trade. As you guys have heard and know, most of your money comes from taxes, particularly your property tax. I talked to you guys about raising taxes. We decided not to raise taxes. I know most people in the town are happy to hear that. But I'm going to show you what your proposed tax rate is at this current moment. Let me zoom in so everybody can see this.
Don't zoom in.
Don't zoom in. Okay, so this is the proposed rate right here, 0.101853. If you look at this, it's your proposed tax rate value of, I think that's all your property right here in the town. But this is how much you project us to make. $356,000 in property taxes. So, that's how much you predict us to make. I just wanted to show something really quick. I wanted to show this to the town, maybe it's here, that thinks we are getting more out of our taxes. So, you help us out with 0.1853. Last year it was 0.1876 was the rate, so that's a higher rate, right? Last year's fiscal year was, and you go back 2 fiscal years. I guess, yeah, it'd be 2. The rate was not 0.1876, it was 0.1908. So our rate is going down. That tells me we're not charging a higher rate. But if you're getting more, if you're paying more property tax, who's getting that? Not us. That's the state and the county. So if they go on to me and says, oh, you're raising our property taxes, we're not getting a higher rate. I just wanted to point that out for anybody. I just want to let you know, it's probably coming to somebody else, because our rate is not 0.19, something is 0.1853. Our rate continues to go down. So I just want to mention that. That is your proposed state tax rate value. You can't really change it at this point, which is a little frustrating too. I mean, you can make a plea, it doesn't need to be a dire straight thing. If they send you a thing in 1 month and say, if you plan on changing your taxes right now, please let us know, even though you don't know what your rate is. Because you have to go through a lengthy process to raise your taxes. I mean, you can. Brenda did it once. It is a very lengthy process, but you want to let them know as soon as possible. So,
and there are a lot of cities in Utah that are doing
taxation. It is a very lengthy tool. That better be one. What'd you say?
Yeah. Huh?
What'd you say? There are a lot of cities that are what? Let me cut you off.
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of cities in the state of Utah that are raising their taxes, and I know they're not small raises. It's not like just approved 12% or 11%. I talked to the town council member on Saratoga Springs. They're talking 35-40%.
Oh,
And they get 8%. We get 0.0183. That's not even a third. Like, so, yeah, we went through our budget with a fine-tooth comb and lowered our budget, where other cities are actually raising it. So, Don't tell anybody that.
So overall, we'll get a small, but we get a little bit more of a number because our proposed tax rate guide in the top right corner, we have more houses. It's not more of a rate, it's just we have more problems.
And I intend to get to the bottom of this.
It's really, the truth in taxation process does take a little while, but it's a pain. But any questions about the certified tax rate value for you guys?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's just,
it is what
I do the first day we're going to see it. I really do.
So we have to prove the certified tax rate.
For fiscal year 27.
Yeah, for fiscal year 2027.
Exactly. Make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2027 certified tax rate information.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yay. Yay. Okay. Reluctant? No. Nays? Motion passes.
We'll try to lower it next year as well, okay?
Well, if I have a little more influence on something, if I will do something, but unfortunately.
All right.
I just promise it, yes.
Ron, I think you're good for the night.
Well, thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for all your work. All right, next on the agenda is the submission of notice of intent regarding the Manaway Justice Court. Cheryl.
Yes. So as we talked about in previous budget meetings, this is a letter of intent to the Judicial Council at the Administrative Office of Courts. And that has to be turned in, and I think everybody that works in that email. But I think for the folks that are here, just so that they understand more about the information that we just recently got from the Administrative Office of Courts.
Yeah, you might want to talk in your mic. I don't think a lot of people can hear you.
Sorry about that. So I'll just read this part because James Peters explained it pretty well. Talks about the whether to dissolve or enter into an interlocal agreement. He talked about Garland and what happened with Garland because they lost their judge and they needed to figure that out. But we're in a situation where we have a current judge, right? And I'll just read this part up. Because contact with another jurisdiction doesn't dissolve the court goes dormant. Well, another jurisdiction hears its cases, but as long as the court exists, the judge is entitled to receive his statutory compensation until the judge resigns. Just like the judge can't expel the mayor or council member from their office, they can't expel the judge from his. As a result, interlocally with Fox Elder would require Manaway to pay not only Fox Elder but Judge Nelson as well in order to have his cases heard by Judge Erickson. As such, the better option in this case is to dissolve the court. Cases originating in Manaway would be heard by the Fox Elder County Justice Court, as Annie Hansen has explained, to do so in the name of the code of the Tuckle. That requires Manaway give notice to both the Judicial Council and the court and the county by July 1st, at least 1 year prior to the effective date of the dissolution. That means a notice received in the next 2 weeks would allow Manaway to dissolve its court as soon as July 1st, 2027. A notice received later than that would mean that Manaway couldn't dissolve any sooner than July 1st, 2028. The notice is just a simple letter addressed to the Judicial Council and signed by the mayor after obtaining approval from the town council that's sent to me. I then provide it to the Judicial Council. If the council votes to dissolve on Thursday, I can provide a sample letter. And so this is something, as I've talked with James Peters, if we are looking at either dissolving or entering into an interlocal agreement, they would need to have that notice by July 1st. And at any point, if we want to withdraw that, it doesn't mean that it's set in stone, but that letter has to be with them for this next year. And I think, Annette, this might be a good time to talk about some of the changes that you're looking at for the Justice Court, because that would impact whether or not we vote on sending this letter in now or if we look at it a year from now.
So I've had several meetings with the court. recently, the latest one was based off of some of our budget meetings that we had, talking about the courts and the police department, and then the feedback that we got from the public. No one said anything about the courts. What that told me was, what's the value to the residents for Manaway? And it didn't speak loud for that. So in regards to that, I then asked for really some objectives and key results. So what value are you adding to Manaway as a court? What are your goals on that, and how can we measure those? So we got some goals. Apparently there's not been complete collaboration on those. And so there's not an agreement with what their objectives and key results would be. So from a value to Manaway residents, it's not really clear. After having several discussions with them on this, I also been spending a lot of time thinking about what we're going to do, and the courts have decided to go remote three times out of the month. Say there's 4 weeks in the month, three times out of the month, and then on 1 week they would do just a 2-hour court, so everything else would be remote. That would save on the bailiff costs and the interpreter costs. I think it was somewhere around $4,000, maybe $5,000 a year. Not anything large. So that would take that down a bit from the cost perspective. You know, but we're not in to make money on this anyway. It's just, what value is there? After having some other conversations and then thinking some more about this, we still have to pay the judge regardless. For 2 years, he's contracted to pay regardless. We know that in 2 years, it comes up for vote again on whether to keep the courts and whether or not even Judge Nelson would remain or want to continue to be the judge in 2 years. So that all comes up in 2 years regardless. As it stands right now, there are some needs that I have within the office staff here that we could move some things around and keep the clerks intact. Not really saving any money on that regard, but there wasn't a lot there anyway, but not saving a lot of money there anyway. So irregardless of if we put in to dissolve the courts and we have more discussions about them throughout the year, say 9 months down the road, we decide, okay, yeah, we're going to. We already know from the presentations that it takes 6 months to move records over to county or wherever if we decide. You're already close to that 2-year mark right there as it is. So the question would be, does it make sense to sign something like this, knowing that this is all the possibility of all this in 2 years not being an issue anyway, comes to light?
I think with those changes, given the financial part of having a justice court and how much we were losing money, especially last year, we lost quite a bit of money. Like, we weren't even breaking even for what was coming in and what our expenditures were. So I think for me, I'm okay giving it a year to see if those changes of moving a full-time clerk over to office and having a part-time clerk and looking at that. I'm okay just to kind of keep an eye and see what happens this next year. I guess for me, it all comes down to the money. If we're in the hole on justice court for the next year, I think we really have to have this discussion again next year. Mm-hmm.
What percentage, certainly we get more of the fines and forfeitures if it's in our home court than if we go to the county court. Do we know what that breakdown is, how much we lose percentage-wise if we don't have the court? I mean, certainly we didn't write a lot of tickets because everyone's following law, so we had a low year. Mm-hmm. But if we didn't, I mean, what percentage of our dollars would go away?
So, if you remember, there were three options that Annie Hansen talked about. The first option was completely dissolving the court, right? And if you completely dissolve it, when you don't ever get to have it back, the county would just automatically just take it over, then they didn't do anything, right? So option two was that you would keep the prosecutor and the defense attorney, but everything else, like the court, the judge, the bailiff, all of that would be handled by county. In that situation, it would be, we would just split the fines and all of that 50-50. But if you remember when I did the assessment on that, we were still losing money doing it option two. Option three was that we enter that interlocal agreement with the county, we pay a fee, a yearly fee, and again still split 50-50. And that was surprisingly the only one that we actually came ahead on, and we were no longer in the hole on. So it was interesting as I broke all of that down, and I believe you have that PowerPoint that I did. That was the only option that we had, but it always would be 50-50. But for whatever, it was interesting because keeping the prosecutor and the public defender, that's what we're still having that expense and having to pay, if that makes sense.
Makes sense, but I'll have to go read the PowerPoint
after
my question and answer. So if we just dissolve the court, what percent of their fines would we get?
If we completely dissolve and we don't enter into an interlocal agreement, none. So option one is just...
And what are we getting now? What percentage of the...
Right now, like whatever, once the state has taken their take, which is a lot, we get everything that's coming back. But even with that, we're still coming in the hole right now because of our expenses.
Okay. Did your PowerPoint just look at the last year, or did we go back 3-5 years and see a trend? Are we losing money every year for the last 5 years?
So we've seen a decrease in the case submissions over the last 3 years by 65%. So every year we're declining. Last year was by far the worst, where we were in the hole when it comes to the justice.
So we have an action item on here for submission of the notice of intent regarding Manaway Justice Court. The question is, I mean, we've got it under action items. Do we want to make a motion and then make a vote to see what we want to do with where we're currently at?
That's what we need to do from a perspective of whether we're going to move forward with this or not. Let's make a motion.
Let's see what everybody votes. Okay, let's see what everybody votes then. Because I have no idea.
Well, comments. I mean, Cheryl and people that have come in and talked to us, I mean, the education process in the last 2 meetings or 2 months. My perspective has been very beneficial, but it's hard to make a decision that, as you pointed out, there's even if we did make a decision to move forward and submit this
notice of intent.
Yeah, dissolve or dissolution of our justice court. There's still a lot of things that take time to make that transition. I think we need more time to work through this. And I appreciate, like I say, all the information that's been provided. But at this point, I'm not seeing a reason to move forward with an attempt to solve the justice court. But that's something that the council's definitely got to take into consideration over the next year as we get ready for. Or next year or two, as you pointed out, we've got some commitments that are even 2 years out.
Well, and it's been 2 years, like the beginning of the year, so we're probably 18 months into it or so.
Yes, about a year and a half.
Yeah, and I think calendar years are tough. Yeah, but anyway, this contract's a calendar year, and I'm thinking fiscal years.
And I'd be curious to know, is there any other value? I know we talked about this. We talked financial value. Is there any other value the court that we get as a town by having a court? Or is it strictly financial? If we're losing money on it, cut it. If we're not, keep it, right? Is it strictly a financial thing, or is there any other benefits we get from having a court?
I'll give you my view. I grew up in a small town in Utah, and one of the benefits of having a justice of the peace, he's not here, but is that he knows the people. He knew me as a kid. So when I got in trouble for riding my motorcycle at the age of 14 in town, I had to clean the fire truck. You know, that was my. But that's the thing I think you lose is the relationship between the town citizenry and the.
What did we have last year? Five?
We had, that's the thing, is that when James Peters came and presented, and I was just going to pull up.
It was like 2.4% of the
cases were all mental arrests. So 99.5% of all of the defendants who came in front of the justice court were non-residents. And so I had several people call and talk with me or come over, and the reality is not only residents aren't actually really using the justice court. When you have five defendants in a year that are from Manly. So there's that part of it, right? When
but
you
do
99% of the people
time,
are not
the court in the community. I'm sorry, but we would lose that. The county won't know the citizenry up here.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, that might be a good thing, though.
And
how you look at it.
14 and riding
one, so. Ordinances, all that kind of stuff that we have, they're not easier enforced with our own court. Our ordinances and stuff don't go to our court anyway, right? If somebody breaks an ordinance, mm-hmm. That's not through the court.
Right.
So we don't lose any of that.
If we're getting, so Justice Court handles Class B's. Fees, infractions. But if you look at our Manawatu Police Department's crime data report, there was very little ordinance enforcement last year. And so if that were to happen and it reaches a point where it needs to go to court, then sure, but it didn't appear on his crime data report that there was a lot of enforcement.
Got any comments or questions?
I've got a lot of thought and a lot of different perspective. I appreciate the question from Matt and the response from Hank and Cheryl. I guess I kind of lean towards seeing what 2027 shows mm-hmm. as far as keeping a consideration on that, whether we approve the document to submit that by July 1st might be a small benefit as long as we could rescind it if we feel like we didn't need to continue with it. But if we waited another year to see how things panned out with some of the proposals you've got, some of the adjustments, I still think we're going to probably lose money, though. Mm-hmm. I don't see us being, you know, sustainable with that. It's going to be a burden on our budget. Continually is my thoughts. But one more year could prove that to be, you know, mm-hmm. more substantial data instead of feelings, right? Emotional feelings.
And I know from the end. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm curious, on our budgets that we just reviewed, our fines and forfeitures were larger than our court expenditures, which would mean the court is paying for itself. So I'm confused on why our fines and forfeitures were, I don't know, they were near 100,000
and our court's only 70. So if all of those fines and forfeitures go away, when the court goes away, that would say we're losing more money, right? So I'm confused on saying we're going to lose it all, but yet the court's not making us money. Our balance sheet does not say that.
I think I need you to repeat. So the fines and forfeitures, yeah, I saw that on the budget, but when you look at what Judge Nelson submitted and what also that James Peters from AOC submitted on how much money was coming in and the amount of money that came in from last year. But so when you look at our take of it and then you look at the expenses, that's where it wasn't adding up. Well, it was adding up, but we were in the negative. So I understand, like, I had the same question, honestly, about the fines and forfeitures because it's not a number that I saw in Judge Nelson's report or a number that was in the report from James Peters from the AOC.
Is there more revenue coming from the fines and forfeitures that were not through the court? I don't know. We need the detail on where that revenue's.
The fines and forfeitures go to zero because we get rid of the court. We are worse off financially. So we need to understand. We need to understand that before we can make a decision. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be worse off.
Well, if you talk to Kevin, Kevin said the court was not in the hall.
Right.
So we need to look at that detail and see where there's a discrepancy from the detail and what we're getting from the county or from the state.
And it almost looks like the fines and forfeitures are paying for the court and also subsidizing some of the police department. And if we got rid of the court, that's all a loss. And so what we're saying and what the numbers show didn't match. So
let's get that detail before we go.
Yeah. And I'm, like I said, I'm fine with holding off until next year, but I think this year we definitely have to be watching that on a regular basis, like not just a year from now, but like on a quarterly basis, watching what's happening with the Justice Court and what they're spending and what's coming in.
If we don't motion and a vote on the submission of this document, I still think we should attack understanding this within the month of July, right? So we understand moving into the first of this year where we're at, and then we watch it and we make that assessment in April, May of next year. Okay?
I agree.
Yeah, great. So a couple action items there that we need to follow up on. I wouldn't mind having Ron have available, he doesn't need to be here, but have available to the town. Oh, there you are.
There
oh, I thought you left.
Said low.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I thought you had left. In fact, I told you to leave.
I was thinking maybe you should chart me down.
Can you talk on the fines and forfeitures?
Fines and forfeitures is right above courts. Courts 88,510. Fines and forfeitures is above that. I'm just going optimism on the fines and forfeitures because you have not hit that this year. There's got to be a change. And if there's not a change, you will not hit that fines and forfeitures.
Because their budget was 85.
Yes, their budget was 88,510 or 85,510.
I think it's 85.
But either way, you will not hit that at the current rate you're going.
Yeah.
There has to be changes made, or you will not hit that. That's why I'm stopping there. I'm like, fines and forfeitures. I'm like, growing optimism, need another full-time cop. You will not hit that at the rate you're going. That's that helps with optimism.
But
and
what about this year? This year is going to pay for this stuff.
This year, courts is about 77,000. Fines and forfeitures across the fingers, mine is 77,000. It'll be about breaking even.
Okay. I guess I'm confused on the numbers we just looked at.
I think we're all putting on this lot. Mayor knows kind of what's going on in that room. So it's just, it's kind of a battle between certain people. And that fines and forfeitures, there's a couple of departments she has to work with. So it's optimism.
And if we go, I mean, I know that I realize the last couple of years, the last year has been tough, but if you go back 3 or 4 years, our fines and forfeitures were they were more than double our court.
So when you had ribeye, and that's why she saw the drop, when you had ribeye and DeFella working together, you were doing this great. You were up at 150,000. You were coming to 70,000, no problem. Ribeye and DeFella worked great. Ribeye and Christian Connell worked great. And that wasn't a problem. And then I hear the police start to see it. So.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in a movie. Maybe want some popcorn over there.
So can we get some detail on that, Ron, to analyze and look at more?
You can get detail. I mean, I can bring detail. Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to talk about the situations that are going on right here. I just think there's some they're optimistically it could happen. There's got to be some changes going on.
Can you every month just give us an accounting of the
yeah.
What's being brought in and what's being
spent? It can be done. Yeah.
Thanks.
So no motion on this topic.
Well, make a motion because we're on an action item. We'll make a motion, but we'll have to vote and say yay or nay.
So when someone makes a motion, they're normally motioning that they want it, and everybody.
But you say nay or nay, yay or nay.
So I can motion, but then still vote nay. Okay. Somebody want to make the motion?
So I'll make a motion to submit the notice of intent regarding the dissolution of the Manaway Justice Court by July 1st.
Is it seconded?
Second the motion. Now we vote, right?
Vote? How many? For?
Nay.
Nay?
I'm a no.
No?
Nay.
No. Motion does not pass. All right. Next on the agenda, Keith, Town Parks and Trails.
Okay.
Oh, I was looking for you over there.
Before I go to the action item, with Ron here, I do want to make a couple of points about him as well as Marcus and Eric, particularly over the last several years. Those three have been so helpful from a parks and trails perspective, and I just want to go on the record thanking them. Ron, particularly with the grants, he helped close up five grants last fall, totaling over $500,000, and he helped wander through. Those are challenging things, and so I just wanted you people to know how grateful I am working with Ron and Marcus and Eric, who has just been wonderful to support in all the parks. So I just want to make that clear with them here and on the record. So thank you.
And I gave them all raises, or we gave them all raises.
Thank you. Whatever they're making, isn't enough. He said Dave too. Where's Dave?
He's not here.
Dave's not here. Dave, I see him, and he's mowing the lawns, and it's just fantastic the work that they do to keep those parks as good as they are. Okay, the action item, I've got 2 points that I wanted to bring up. One of them is a question, and it's about more parking at Maple Springs Park. Cheryl, with her committee, we've talked about this, and we actually have the money set aside to add 10 more parking spaces on the east side of Maple Springs Park, which would cover up a big chunk of the ditch, the rock ditch. It's a planning and zoning thing. I know you guys are part of this. And so we've got to go through the planning and zoning to get it approved before I come back here officially. I learned that in the last few days. But my question is that something that this town council feels as important as to add 10 more parking spaces? It would cover up the rock ditch and we asphalt in the space and it'd be just on the east side of Maple Springs Park.
On the full east side or on the southeast side or?
Pure east. So you know where the Hendricks live? Across the street from them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it'd be off road parking?
Yes.
And do we have data that says we need the 10?
I don't have great data for you to say that. I mean, to me, it's just been something that I've been told from 5 years ago till now is you're never going to have enough parking, so if you get more parking, get it. So I'm perfectly happy to leave it, but I also, if as a town council, you're interested in getting rid of these rock ditches, which I hope you are.
Don't get me started.
You can use the park as a really good example of how to do it the right way. So that's the political piece of it that you can deal with. If you have any comments, make them. Otherwise, I don't know that I want to even waste my time doing it. And I certainly don't want to waste my time if you guys aren't interested in more parking.
When I first went over to the park, the first thing I said was they need more parking spaces. Like, it's popular.
You live right next to it. How often is it? I live not too far away from it. It's not overfilled very often unless there's a town party or a youth activity or a quad.
I'd say five to ten times a year it's going to be overfilled.
The thing that concerns me about, if we cover that up and, you know, we have that ordinance where you have to have so many open feet.
30%.
If we give a waiver on our own property for that, we're going to have a lot of residents that want that same waiver. And I'm not sure our drainage infrastructure can handle everybody covering up the ditch in front of their house. I know people don't like them, but there's reasons for them. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a big enough problem. This is just my opinion, to go spend all the money to cover that up and put parking in. That's just my opinion.
And that's actually why I don't want to put the energy into this if you guys are going to oppose it anyway, for political reasons. And I get those. So it's your choice, not mine. Mm-hmm. Can we get a motion on that? And I can just move to, I have a fence question I do want to ask as well.
Can you remind me, I pulled up a map, a Google map. Remind me where we talked about putting those spots.
You know where the mailboxes are?
Uh-huh.
It's that same, just down, there's a fire hydrant. So it would be right beyond the fire hydrant as you head south.
That's right. Okay.
It seemed to me like they wanted to, at least I'd heard rumor, I don't know if that's true, they wanted to move the mailboxes because it's in a bad location as people are turning the corner and all the rest of that stuff. Does anybody know where they want to move them to, Marcus?
I just split them up in the neighborhoods. I put two here and two there.
Oh, so it's not like they want to move it down further or anything.
Yeah, some of the postmaster was interested in it. It is kind of a bad location, but that's something simple that could be done. Just two here, two there.
I was just wondering if it was going to be on the, what he's thinking about.
I had also heard that there was talk about possibly letting people do something with those ditches in their front. Is that? Am I hearing wrong?
No.
Marcus and Rob, like, is that something?
Say that again, please.
Letting residents cover that ditch, whether it's having a pipe and then covering it or whatever.
It's a long story.
It's a long story.
Yeah, Rob and I have been working on that. It's something that we're considering looking at. Maybe just put it, get some momentum on it. Rob talked about it. So.
Okay.
Well, I can explain it later if you really
want.
Okay. Yeah, to me, that's the politics of this. If you want to do something with these rock ditches, you could use the park as an example. If not, just tell me, and I've got lots of things I can do. I don't need to do this. I feel like the park is in a pretty good spot. There is one thing I do want to do, which is the next subject, which is a fence. But
So my take would be is to table it for a while and see the need for it and not move so aggressively on this 10 extra parking spots. That's my thoughts. But
what's the cost? It would be $10,000 or so.
That takes the whole budget.
We're going to do one to two things a year. This is our thought process in each of these parks now that they're at least the Maple Springs, because it's generally done.
Let's kind of table that one.
Because the good news is I've got money to do something I think we really need to do, which is put a fence on the opposite side, so the west side, so right by the tennis court. So if you think about the barn and the tennis courts, and you go to the west, the tennis courts have 30 of those arborvitae trees that deer love. And so I've tried for the last 2 years to put up my own fish wire fence, and it has worked poorly. Although on the ends, they've only eaten the ends. So two trees we'd probably replace of the 33. So not terrible. But the Oilers are putting a fence in, and previous to this town council, I worked with the prior town council, and we were going to use funds from the grants to help, in the Oilers' case, with the cost of that fence. There's two reasons to do it. One is noise suppression, and two is liability. And liability is a big deal for us because there's a trampoline, and there's the jets of landscaping, which has, you can look at my foot, nails and rotten pallets that you can step on, and I think the town has some liability if kids go beyond that to the west. And so putting a fence there makes some sense in my mind. And that probably costs $3 to $5 as we split with the others and finish that. So that I would like to move forward with. They are within a month going to be moving on their fence. I just like to do it all at the same time. So it looks good.
So is that a plastic fence?
I think so.
A low maintenance vinyl type thing is what you
correct.
Think.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll put some type of a gate on the end so you can get in there and screw around with the trees and the plumbing, which we do.
So the fence would cover. I'm looking at a Google map. I'm sorry. I'm trying to broadcast it up here. It's not working. Basically from the tennis courts, and would it go all the way to the street? Okay.
Yeah, we do it such that we just, wherever it's, we'll just do it in a way that the Oilers are doing it. We're going to make it so it's the same.
It matches.
Looks good.
Well.
Yeah, it's just part of it.
I don't know where Maple Springs Park is.
sorry, not to the street, but just back.
Right there you're showing up.
You've got to push it up. The other way.
Oh, she's
well, she's doing it. Yeah, I can kind
of. Okay.
Keep going, same direction.
Keep going. Yeah, keep going.
A little more. A little more.
Keep going. Keep going.
Okay.
All right.
Keep going.
Keep going. And you're almost there.
Okay, it's like over here.
Now go move it to the right. Mm-hmm.
You gotta keep pushing up.
You're almost there. Don't
okay, you. There it is.
There we go.
Okay, so you look. Yep. You look at the tennis courts to the left, and you can see. So it's just going to be the vertical line to the left of the tennis courts. It would be parallel to the tennis courts. But it would go up so that it knocks out gypsum landscaping, and you keep all the kids away from that mess in that corner, which is the liability.
So we would extend it beyond.
Yeah, I think we should pay just a little bit to get it. We've got a fence around the pump track, which is that. And so we just match it up to there.
And is the fence going to go on our property, their property, or just right in the middle?
It'd be right in the middle.
And then we got that approval from Jepson Landscape, or are we going to have a job in the fence?
I'll have to deal with landscape to do that, but the Oilers, I've already got it dealt with. But yeah. I cannot conceive of any problem with landscape, with Chase being worried about this, especially if we buy it, which to me is the right answer.
Well, Maple Springs Park has a budget of $10,000 for next year.
Not do the parking, do the fence is my vote.
And what it sounded like, because if we do the parking, we can't do the fence.
Right. But the parking, we might need to just wait on anyway to get all of that figured out first. And that can maybe wait a year and get the fence going for a year.
Okay.
Make a motion?
Yeah.
A motion to approve paving and installing a fence along the property line with oilers from the road back to containing the needed liabilities for Manaway.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The motion passes. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
All right, we've already done the internet acceptable use policy. The next one is consideration and possible approval of the Forest Grid Engineering Master Services Agreement and Associated Work Order. Eric.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I am Eric Kirstor. I represent
Hey, he's a just. I'm trading chairs.
Anyway, I represent Portland Associates as their civil engineer manager. I had talked to Annette, Mayor, and asked her today, and she said, well, you've got a minute to win, so I'll only brief.
Well, I haven't started the timer, to be honest with you, so you're okay.
We were founded back in 1962. We are a multidisciplinary engineering firm. We do environmental, civil, and structural work. We started about 7 to 9 states back in the 60s. We were recently integrated by Apex as a subsidiary operation to them. So now we are located in all 50 states as engineers. There are about 2,500 of us now, for good and for bad. Growing plan here, so they're a very big firm, so we've got a good footprint, good resources now. We can make phone calls on just about everything, anything in like Margaret. So locally, we represent seven communities in Cache Valley. So I engineer for Newton, Midman, Snowville, Amalgam, River Heights, and all those small communities. So I love small communities. I like the bread and butter small communities. I think they're fun to work with. You guys are pretty straightforward. Referring about things, which I appreciate. There's no hidden agendas. I appreciate that. I've worked in Idaho for a number of small communities there, same situation. My first community in Idaho was Horseshoe Bend. If you know what that is up there, for Boise. My first council meeting there, they canceled because one of the council members shot another council member. So I hope you don't have that same.
They shot him?
Shot him. So, yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh.
On purpose or
accident? So, no, I have this fun to have some good history of small community. I truly enjoy this small community. Again, we're a big firm now, so we do. I do enjoy having the new personalities. So, I hope share the same with you, too. So, I have gotten to know Pam easily through a company party. I was a daughter for us, too. Super designer, phenomenal designer, of course. A good cat, so we appreciate her. Kelsey invited mom to a company party up in Vogels, and I met her there. And she introduced me to kind of some of the situations and conditions and things that I have happening that way. So I said, and I met her down here at the city hall, and there was an old map up here on the wall that was slowing down. And I said, I can help you do that. So I wouldn't take it 2 minutes, but it don't take long. So I started working on that, and this whole long thing process about that. And I started working with Boston Cameron. They spoke beans. They said, call Pam and said, hey, he's working on this. And I want to be surprised for so I kind of saw that. You can see over here, we've got finished about a year ago. This is a good nature. Good effort for us. And she's also asked me to help with a couple of wildland adjustments here in town. So we'll do that as part two for some profile basis. Just to get to know her better and get to know you both better.
I mostly thank Eric for coming. Thank you. I wasn't planning on him coming, so I appreciate that you did come. We've been working on for the last 2 months has been this master agreement. There's both the red line in there as well as the final master agreement. Talking to Pam, she didn't want to move forward. She's got some smaller projects that she wants to work with Forest Grid on, Forsgren's also indicated the desire to work with White.
Hanson.
Yeah, White. Chris White. Thank you. I don't see a problem with that. This master agreement, before we sign it, I wanted to make sure that we brought it in front of the town council, because again, she didn't want to move forward with some of these smaller projects because they have a project work orders as well. And it's not to say that they're going to, you know, be the new engineering firm for Manaway, but it's good to have options. So I went through, redlined up a lot of the agreement, and they were very, very good to work with. They came to some good consensus on it. After we agreed on that, then I sent it to our town lawyer. He made a couple of adjustments and changes to it, which, again, they were very good to make those changes. So knowing that, Rob, pay attention. Do you know exactly what project she wants? I mean, not that we're going to vote on that, but do you know what project she wants?
Yeah, it's dealing a lot with these driveways that are in these parking, or these places up in the other end mostly.
Okay.
We don't have any specs on driveways on how that should be done.
Okay.
And so we really like those specs done. There is some, we've talked a great deal about those driveways. A lot of them were put in without even talking to anybody. They just happened. And they have, driveways are everywhere in this town, double driveways in lots to stall off the place. So we've kind of determined that people need those or want those a lot. So we're talking as a planning and zoning to change that somehow. So we need their help to do that as well.
Okay.
See how we can work that.
Okay. Made a few messages in checklist too, AOUA from items too, so.
The what?
AOUA item checklist and things.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. So what I'm proposing here is that we approve the Forsgren Engineering Master Services Agreement and the work order for them to start working on the driveways. The work order isn't filled out. That would need to be signed later. But to approve these so that they can move forward.
So I have the red line version, and Article 17, limitation of liability, was removed. Is that us that removed that? Legal was okay with that?
Legal was okay with that. Everything in there has been, like I said, gone through.
Trudy,
you want to bring up 17?
I don't know. Is this the red line version? Or is this
no, this is the final. I think.
Okay. Go down to page 8. It's Article 17. Just see if it's gone.
No, up.
Too far.
Just keep going.
Go up.
17.
Oh, yeah. 17. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's removed.
I just want to make sure our legal was okay with that.
Yep.
You're in Article 29.
Well, it she did go past it.
Yeah,
she
well,
was,
it's still there. It just says removed.
It says removed.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
So, Forsgren has insurance to cover any of the other elements of the contract.
Mm-hmm. We do now. So
I just want to make sure I heard right. Did you say that Pam's daughter works for your company?
She does.
Okay. Is that something that Pam has let people know that might be a conflict? Okay.
Yeah.
Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the Forsgren Engineering Master Services Agreement and associated work orders.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion passes. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Well, and there's another one that Ron likes. Okay, Marcus.
Did we skip over?
Oh, did we skip one?
Did we skip adoption of internet and acceptable?
No, because we did that.
Oh, we did.
We did that at the very beginning when you did with the risk assessment.
Got you. I didn't catch that. Thank you.
Okay, Marcus, hit us with your SCADA.
All right, what's up with the SCADA?
Well, I don't know. Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah. SCADA is, as you know, the tank has been built a couple times. It's been drained. It's been disinfected. Right now, it's currently going to the last phase of leak test. It's going to be online like the next week. The tank. That's soon. That's why you need to get the SCADA.
That's soon? We've been waiting.
Yes.
That's soon.
We're going to have a new tank here. Tanks can keep running into a few little problems here and there. Overall, we just have a SCADA, so Eric and I are up to 2 in the morning trying to open valves and do things to keep down the bowl of this morning empty and everything else that goes on with all that. It'd be good just to get the SCADA on there so that it can be controlled by the computer. As you can see, that's the only SCADA company that I have that currently works on this type of SCADA that we have, so we really don't have an option to go with anybody else. It's a pretty reasonable price. I did get an email. I sent you an email on that particular quote. And you'll notice that that one is from like 416 earlier this year. So you're going to have to add about $750 to that. That was incorporated in the original email I sent you. So, yeah.
So add 700 to the 13,936?
Yeah, $750.
Okay. So basically,
the SCADA will determine the depth of the basically how much water is in the tank.
I don't know, it's the one you just gave us.
Yeah, we need to send it somewhere else if it calls for water with the well. If it's going to overflow, it's too empty, all those types of things are controlled by the SCADA. And it's real important. I think that price is pretty reasonable.
I heard this printout version is
different.
More than the one that you sent online. Is it updated or?
Yeah, that's an updated one. He sent me a text that said it'd be $750 from the original. From the one. I'd go by the one that you have on here.
But the one we have doesn't include the $750 or does it?
That one doesn't.
Does not.
So the one right here does?
Huh?
This one does?
That one does.
That one does.
Oh, so the one on. So this 14.
Yeah, he sent me. Okay. I've been working on this for so long, getting this to come together.
So the
$750 will be just right there.
And this is compatible to all of our other SCADAs that all talk together.
It'd be nice to get it going right away. I'd like to get it into this year's budget. If I could get it started this in the next week, that's my plan, or at least some of it, as much as possible.
Get the SCADA in this year's budget.
Yeah, it's just going to push because of all the little problems we've had with the tank going at the right time. It's going to be the new repeater site for the whole SCADA.
You got the budget for it this year?
I think it's in the budget we've added.
Yeah,
that
is.
I think it is.
It's on the budget
this year. That's why I'd like to get approved.
Yeah. It's all part of the numbers.
Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Motion.
Motion.
Let me get the agenda up. You can make the motion if you're ready.
Sure. Motion to approve the new water tank SCADA. And have it as part of this year's budget.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes, yes. No nays. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Stay there for one more minute.
Yeah.
We're going to do this Twin D thing one more time.
Oh, you guys.
Just to prove it. Just. Nowhere in our town minutes, and we've talked about this multiple times, gone through the town minutes, Shrita did, and also the recording, did we ever motion to approve that? And we have to approve it. Because
the Twin D stuff?
Yeah. We never motioned to approve it.
I got your brain on the third couple of days.
We tabled it one time, and then the next time we talked about it, but we didn't motion.
This is all the repairs.
Yep, this is all the repairs. The tree root removal, the soft bedding of the stalactites, all the everything that we did right there.
I remember it.
We all remember it. But you go back through the recordings, and we never motioned to approve it.
So are we making the motion for this 34,000?
Yeah.
The 34,000?
It was 42, so it was an extra 10.
Yeah, so 34 and 85.
Right. It was an extra 10 on top of the 32, so it was 42. So we need to approve the extra 10.
That was an extreme success. We got the sewer flow down by about 50%, maybe 2/3 sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Very clear.
I'll make a motion that we approve the point repairs that were done by Twin D in the amount of $42,000.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
No nays. Motion passes. Twin D is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus.
How long have they been doing this work?
I know. It was like February.
Yeah.
All right. Cheryl, Little Valley Days.
I don't even know where to start, except we'll start with the agenda. And I do believe Sharita has shared the vendor, sorry, I've got too many tabs open.
This is really nice, by the way, having all these unfolded.
Yes.
Thank you, Annette.
She's so ordinary.
Do not come up in the cup.
The employee is helping us again with vendors. I will say it so many times, Little Valley Days does not happen without a whole lot of people volunteering their time to help. So I really appreciate the employee helping. She takes on a lot because she also handles like the little kids stuff on during the week as well. So if you want to pull it up, there's a list of the LVD vendors. There's AERP, that's more of a just an information type booth. Oops, I just put it up. So the ones that you sent, these are all of the non-food, Sharita?
They're kind of mixed in, the one that I have, but...
Yeah. Let me go over the ones that...
There's a lot more on that list than what's on this list, unless there's more than one document.
Yeah. So what I've got for the food ones is Miranda's Empanadas, Mac Attack, the Corn Dog Company, Ty's Chicken, and Soda Cheesy. And Jurassic Tacos. And those are like main dish type vendors. And then we've got some desserts. All Things Wonder, those are like the milk cones. Two Sisters Traders. Juby LLC, that's the cotton candy. Hannah's Sunny Sips, that's the hoops here in town. And then Connie's Sweet Treats. Those are the food ones. There's a lot. arts and crafts. We have Wild North Design, that's Jen and Jensen. Omaniki, Tapes and Ceramics. Authors Hansen. Carve Studios. TL Pottery, that's Tim Lloyd.
been out a few years. And then, makeovers by Meg, and of course we have our Manaway t-shirts. And I do believe that's it for the arts and crafts. Did I miss any, Sharita?
No, you didn't.
Stitched by Riley? Freely? What is that?
Stitched by Briley. Oh.
You can click on it.
Yeah. So I don't know what they've normally done that to approve the vendors. Like, I don't know if we need to go through every application for that.
No. So what I do from what I did today was I go through this portion right here of the application,
mm-hmm.
and I enter that. I don't have it on me, which I probably wouldn't show anyways because it has like social security numbers on it, so I'm going to move that. But it has all their vendor information that I have to submit to the state, and since you guys are possibly approving them tonight, then I'll submit it to the state Monday with all their vendors' information.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to just go through and we've already stated all the vendors.
Yes.
So we don't need to go through and approve each one. We can just approve that we approved all the vendor list.
Yes.
Okay.
We just typically, we don't go through, in the past, we haven't ever gone through all of them in detail. We just make sure they're not selling stuff that we wouldn't want sold in town or,
right.
you know, want any smoke shops or anything like that coming in, you know. So that, but it doesn't look like any of these. That's what we've typically done in the past.
Okay.
It's interesting how many food people are coming, which is great for the variety, but I wonder if it impacts the.
The food she did add. Sorry.
The revenue of those that come.
So the dessert was
50 food people.
So main dish ones, there's going to be six, and dessert kind of stuff, there's going to be five. Typically, and she added like just one more of the main dish, just because typically they kind of run out of food by the time people are coming back for fireworks, and so she wanted to see if adding one more, giving another option might help with that.
So are these vendors all located on Main Street? Bar?
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. And one of the things that the community, because what I've done is I've gathered like the weekday night event leaders, and we've met each month, and then also the Saturday event leaders. And I could go through all of that as well. But at one point, Brooks did have a few vendors that were going to be coming to some of the weeknight, like a dessert one. But they have decided to pull out, which is fine. Like, we don't necessarily need it. It was just something that they thought about. I know the fire department is looking at doing a burger burn at Mr. Manaway Night earlier in the day. And that was something that, honestly, Tenor has thought about as well. And he had already gotten somebody on his team kind of thinking about it, so they're kind of talking.